The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
In this khutbah, I want to take some time to discuss some of the lessons and a little bit of inspiration from what you are seeing from the Palestinian people, the civilians, and individuals who really have nowhere to go. And some of the other lessons that we can learn as well. So I'll start with a couple lessons. So first of those lessons is this, and I think this is something that I think this issue has made it even more clear to us. And that is the fact that you can have politicians who look very presentable, who have very firm handshakes, who have the most well-looking suits, who speak of the highest values and morals. But in reality, they don't live up to those morals, to those values. And this is something that you and I have to teach our children, because this is the world that our children are growing up in. You know, one of the things that convenience, ease, one of the things that privilege does to the human being is that it makes the human being indifferent and a little bit naive. This is what happens when you're growing up in a part of the world where life is very convenient, and we are blessed through that convenience. There's no doubt about that. Yes? If you live in this part of the world, or in many other parts of the world as well at this point, there's convenience that comes with life. That convenience that comes with life many times gives you the feeling, and by extension our children, the feeling that this is how life is. This is how, what life is supposed to be like. And in reality, life is not like that for many people out there. And we don't want our children to grow up naive and not understanding how politicians will change their words, how politicians will play nations many times, how politicians will do whatever they like, as long as they have a smile on their face, and as long as they show up on shows on TV, that then they assume that the public and you and I are unaware of what they're doing in reality. This is one of the biggest lessons of what we are witnessing during these days. Lesson number two, the power of media, the labeling, the gaslighting that's happening, yes? That a politician will look you straight in the eye and you tell him there's civilians dying, and he says, what civilians? Which civilians are you talking about? What international law are you talking about? When did we ever go against international law? But no, I saw the evidence myself. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, this is what they call gaslighting. This is what they call denying clear facts to such an extent where sometimes you sit back and say, well, maybe I'm the one who's not thinking properly. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand what's happening. Yes? Maybe I'm the one who's got everything wrong because it doesn't add up. Yes, that's the power of media, brothers and sisters. Power of media. Inshallah, in the future, we're going to talk about media a lot more for certain reasons. I don't want to touch on it right now. These are some of the lessons. There's more lessons. I'll get to those lessons later on. I don't want to get into it right now. Inspiration. Some of those moments of inspiration. Yes? The patience of a people. This is unbelievable. This is something we've never seen. And there are major lessons in it for you and I. I mean, how can a father or a mother hold their own child in their arms, yes? And at the same time, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise God. And be patient with what's happening with them. And understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these are things that we read of in books. These are things we read of in hadith. This is things we read of in theory. And you see it playing out with civilians in practice. This is unbelievable. And it puts into perspective, by extension, the difficulties that you and I go through We have difficulties. There's no doubt about that. Yes, life comes with many difficulties, yes? But then you put your difficulty alongside the difficulty of this person. And you see that your difficulty really is nothing even to be, you know, compared to this difficulty. It's not to dismiss your difficulty. Your difficulty is there too. My difficulty is there too. Yes? But it helps the human being to be so much more patient, because now I understand what a problem really is. Now I understand what a headache really is. Yes? These are the lessons that can be learned. You see this with the civilians. Of the inspirational things that you see, of course, it's, you know, covered in genocide. It's covered in crimes that are happening. Yes, but if you look deeper, you see this inspiration. You see these paramedics, the rescuers. Imagine if you're put into this area and they tell you, listen, we're just going to bomb and you just have to go and pull out bodies. Pull out this body and pull out that body and pull out this body. And after the fifth time, after the sixth time, after the tenth time, you're going to give up. After the 15th time, you're going to be saying, enough is enough. What's the point? What am I even doing anymore? And you know, many of these paramedics and rescuers at this point, they know they're doing this, a lot of it for history. They're doing a lot of it because they know that these moments are critical moments. Like, the world's not going to forget the massacre of a whole people. I mean, we can talk about politics and so on and so forth, but this is beyond politics. This is a whole people who are being held accountable, who are being, you know, punished for something that they had nothing to do with. Yes, this is the inspiration that you see these paramedics. I was on social media, I saw this clip where many of these paramedics, when they visited homes that have been bombed, you see that they have brought with them money. Their pockets are full of money, but this is not their own money. So when they visit the homes to pull out the bodies, if there is money, because there's an explosion, everything in the house is all over the place, yes? They take the money and they give it to the family that was rescued, or whoever has been rescued from the, you know, the from that building. They don't even take walk away with that money. Now many of them are hungry and thirsty themselves. Yes, this is inspiration. This is you and I. And you and I assume we sacrifice for God, right? We do. I speak for you guys. You guys do, of course. But when you compare it to what they go through, what sacrifice are we doing? How are we, you know, the sacrifices we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we give from our wealth, we give from our time, we give from our energy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, inshallah. This is sacrifice. This is on a different level. The hard work of journalists. Yes, many of them are not even affiliated with any, you know, agency. But you see, they document what's happening because they know that this is a critical moment. They know this is a turning moment. They know that things are going to shift moving forward. And they know the narrative is also changing. I mentioned this 3 weeks in a row. It's changing. It's changing slow. Very slow. A lot slower than it should. But it's changing. So you see this person still documenting. Still when his own house is bombed and his own family he loses. Still continuing to do what he feels like is the only way he can protect the civilians that are around him. Protect them now, protect their future generations and their history as well. These are inspirational, you know. Yesterday there was another journalist. His family, the house of his family was bombed. He returned back to continue with his journalism 24 hours later. Why? He himself did Salatul Janazah on his wife, his son, and his daughter. And he came back to do the journalism. Why? Because he said, these are moments, I have to document these moments. These are moments, I can't be the one sitting, you know, on the sidelines and saying, well, I have to take my loss. These are inspirational. The work of, and this is the last one that I want to point out, the work of these surgeons and the medical staff. Yes, when you are told to evacuate the hospital multiple times. And the surgeon who, some of them, otherwise can be living wonderful lives. But this person decides to stay in the hospital and continue to help civilians who are wounded. What's more inspirational than that? You know, it's one thing in Islam, and in any faith for that matter, even in the Jewish faith, even in the Christian faith. It's one thing to help people. It's another thing to help people who have nowhere else to go. It's another thing to help people who are hopeless, who have no other option, who are muhtar. Yes? One of those surgeons you saw, it was on CNN yesterday or the day before. His name is Ghassan Abu Sita. Yes, you should look him up. This is a multiple award-winning plastic surgeon. Yes, who is in one of the hospitals. I believe it's Ash-Shifa Hospital, but I could be wrong. They have him on different news channels and so on and so forth. This is a person who lives in Britain. And if he wanted to, he could just live there and not care at all. Yes, but his humanitarian aid and his humanitarian work is something that is extremely, inspirational when his life is in danger. So this is all lessons that, of course, doesn't take away from the bitterness of the massacres that we are seeing, no doubt about it. But I wanted to address this issue from that angle as well, because in the midst of all of this ugliness and this massacre that we are witnessing, there are these moments of sacrifice that will remain in history and that you and I have to learn from when it comes to aiding civilians who are completely caught up in this massacre that is taking place.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.